For the Detroit Free Press, I'm Tad Davis. The past few weeks have been turbulent ones, from rising COVID cases to election news. It's hard to stay away from any type of media. We want to be checking for updates and news about what's happening in our world today. But with this surge of information online, we have seen counterforces to that: mis- and disinformation. I spoke with Detroit Free Press's mis- and disinformation reporter Ashley Nurbovig about what kind of information we have seen online since the November 3rd election.
What kind of information or disinformation have we seen, did we see from Election Day until now?
Totally. So just to give people a little bit of context, all of our reporters were, you know, tuned into social media, but two of our reporters, me and another reporter, Clara Hendrickson, were super focused on monitoring platforms and trying to watch for these threads as they came up live. So we were on 11 different platforms, and what we ended up seeing a lot of was not as many things on Election Day, so not as many things about like long poll lines that were false or things like that happening. It all kind of really culminated on November 4th. And what it was a lot of was voter fraud stories that some of them would start innocently enough. So, you know, Sharpie Gate was one that was big in Arizona and also a little bit big in Michigan, where we had a bunch of people asking questions about whether or not a Sharpie would work to fill out your ballot. And what was so interesting about this is that I had some people reach out very genuinely on Twitter, and they were really actually concerned about this and asking this question. And what ended up happening is that then that got weaponized by other people who wanted to use it as something to point out as a particular flaw in the voting system, or as in Arizona's case, something that was being done purposefully to Republicans to make their ballots invalid, all of which wasn't true.
I want to talk a little bit about your job. When you find something, or when someone reaches out to you about something like Sharpie Gate, why don't you try to just walk me through how you figure out, is there truth to this? Is this misinformation? Is this disinformation? Kind of just tell me how you kind of figure that out.
So, yes. So the first thing that will happen is we'll get a post or we'll see something and we will immediately flag it as, okay, this is something online that's following one of our kind of criteria, which is criteria for something we want to look into, which is that it has a certain amount of retweets or it has a certain amount of people who are talking about it as well. And then what we'll do is we'll take whatever the post is or the hashtag and we'll try to find the origin. So for instance, with the Dead Michigan Voter story that we did, it was a Pastebin link. Then we can take that link and search it to try to find the first person who posted it. And then once we find that first person, we can look through and see kind of what their take was on it, why they were looking into it. And that way it helps us to get an idea of whether or not this was something that was started organically or if it was something that was put out by someone intentionally to be weaponized. And most of the time it is something organic that starts. And then the correcting part of it is really just regular old school journalism, where you're just calling the Secretary of State's office and sending them the list and saying, you know, do you have enough information here to tell us anything about this? Tell us about the things that you put into place to prevent dead voters from voting, how you catch them, how many you caught this year. And then at the end of that, we'll write something up. And what we're hoping for is that when people have the full picture of how they heard something or how they came across something online, it's more impactful than just having the correction of the information. It also allows you to take a moment to take a step back and be like, this didn't come across my feed by accident. This came across my feed on purpose.
And looking at the bigger picture of misinformation and disinformation, specifically November 4th happening and all this misinformation and disinformation happening since, you being someone who is digging in every single day, was anything really surprising or was it expected?
You know, for the people who are like really researching this and the experts ahead of time, a lot of them said that, you know, it wasn't super surprising to them. What most of the things that were being portrayed were narratives that we've heard before, stories that we've heard before at the after and regular election. And that's kind of what all the experts said too, is that everything that they said was going to happen happened. I think my favorite thing that I heard from one of the experts was that they said that a video of Russian ballot vote stuffing was going to resurface, or something like that was going to resurface. And it ended up being the exact same video resurfaced. And it was used in Pennsylvania to be used as a version of, this is what happens. This is what's happening right now in America. And it was crazy to see that get debunked again. you just saw the same tactics, the same things that are said after every election, and the same concerns that are raised after every election. Dead people voting, my dog voting. You know, I saw a video of that just the other day, but it's just done on such a massive scale, and it's given such huge legitimacy by these verified users who take it and blast it out as the truth and not just as something that we hear on the news and then is quickly critiqued as an idea that didn't exist.
Looking forward, do you think that the misinformation and disinformation around this election, around President Trump, President-elect Biden, do you think it will continue to get worse or better?
You know, that is such a good question. And I think that that is one thing that, you know, when I've asked the experts about it, they, I think because I prefaced it with, you got all this stuff right, what's going to happen next? They try to kind of answer the question, but I think we don't know, because we don't know how long you can sustain something like this without new threats coming up. So like, you know, there's only so much you can say about what happened on November 3rd. Like, how are you going to keep feeding this? Because the one thing about misinformation, disinformation is that it usually does build on something with a kernel of truth. And there's only so much now away from Election Day that's going to be getting tweeted about and social media things to take advantage of here. But I think that it is important for people to understand that for people who are seeing this online and who are taking in this information, they aren't taking it in as something, it's, you know, information kind of is such a sterilized term. I mean, they are taking it in as news events. I mean, you yourself, the listener, may see something and be really concerned about something right now and not know that it's misinformation. And just think about how it makes you feel. I mean, it makes you feel like something is going wrong in our democracy. And I mean, that is very real. I don't know what's going to come in the misinformation, disinformation sphere, but it's just, one expert said that no matter what, at the end of the day, one side or the other is going to feel like this was a delegitimate election, and that that really undermines our democracy. And it's just like an important thing to think about, that there was significant damage done in the last couple of weeks.
Thank you so much for your time, Ashley.
Thank you.
For more information, head to freep.com.